Today we're going to continue on with what Dusty's been talking to us about, and specifically we're going to narrow it down, hammer it down today about why life groups are important. Before we do that today, though, I just sense that we need to pray a little today. There's been a lot going on that probably a lot of you know about. You know, we lost an extended family member, Pam Jones's good friend Abby Bray passed away on Thursday night. And Pam, the funeral's today at 2 o'clock. Dusty is doing the funeral. I don't know exactly if any of you had the opportunity to meet Abby, but he was a very gentle soul and had a lot of experiences in life. And John and Tina went up yesterday, and Miss Caroline Kent went up to the viewing. John told me when they were there, there were about 1,000 people. I know Kathy's told me that he was on the news. The passing was on the news. So this was a man of influence. A man who had influence in a community. And I don't want us just to pray about that today. I just sense that we need to spend a few minutes praying together. Okay? So I'm just going to launch us out. And if there's something God puts on your heart, a praise or a thanksgiving or somebody else to intercede. Tomorrow, Daniel goes for an MRI on his heart area. So that's important. He is very concerned about having that MRI. And if any of you have had an MRI, you probably can share in that concern, okay? But we don't want fear to take over for our brother here. And his health is important. And I talked with his mom for quite a while this week, and she kind of brought me up to speed. They're still trying to determine everything, okay? But tomorrow about 1:30, he goes for an MRI, and he is worried about that, okay? So that's just something that we can be praying about today. So I'm going to launch us out, and let's just spend a few minutes praising and interceding. Father, we come, and Lord, we don't have any answers. Lord, but what we have is You. And Father, You say in Your Word that You're a good and generous Heavenly Father. That Lord, us in our humanness try to give good gifts, but You're the great gift giver. And so Lord, this morning as we come, with things on our hearts and our minds. Father, I pray that You would help us to know what to do with those according to Your will and purpose. Lord, I believe there are things on our hearts and our minds, yeah, we're supposed to take action. But there's others that we're supposed to lay them down and let You have Your way with them. But most importantly, Father, I believe today, if we could just get this next thing right, it would make a difference. If we can let You have Your way with us. And Lord, that sounds so simple, but Lord, it is such a battle. So God, help us to be willing to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to You totally and completely today. Father, we give You all the glory and the honor today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why are life groups important? Why are they important, church? Why are they important? Most of you here have been in one for years. So why are they important? Why do we talk about them so much here? Why are they important? Fellowship? We probably have a 10 on a scale of 1 to 5. We're probably a 10 on the fellowship scale. What'd you say, Julie? Family. Mm-hmm. Biblical, yes. Good answer. Did you see my notes beforehand? Because that's I agree. What else? Being able to pray together for one another and share. Mm-hmm. What else? Extension of our families. Yeah. Our lives interconnect. I agree with all those. And we could list some more because we talk about this enough, so we could list some more. But I have a question for you to respond back. Why is it difficult when you invite someone to a life group What are the reasons you hear for them not able to make it to life group? What are some reasons you hear people give for not being able to make it to life group? Time, too busy. I agree. Lack of interest. Other activities, you see. I told Rick and Dusty the other day, we were talking about this, and I said, I was just driving down the road, spaced out like usual, and I got to thinking of just our congregation, just the people here, of all the different things that we have our hands in, but in particularly the things that are at night and on the weekends. Okay? And I got to thinking about that. Like I said, I didn't even think about the rest of the world that has a million more things. I just got to thinking about what I know you guys and what I have. So what other things come to mind about what you hear about not being able to make it or be a part of a life group? I know that for me, and most of you don't know this, when Kathy and I came to Southwest Community Church meeting at the BSU, and Masako Lando and Miss Caroline King were back there making the coffee and serving Dunkin' Donut holes, which I thought was incredible. I mean, I really did. I thought, man, this is amazing. You walk in. I didn't even know the first day. I did not know who the pastor was the first day, because Dusty didn't have a tie or a suit on, and John, he could have easily been the pastor just as much as Dusty that morning, and some other people that you've never met, because you know why? Everybody was doing something. No one was just sitting around. Everybody was doing something. And I thought, man, this is awesome. Donuts and coffee, they're going to be right there. Chairs, this is great. But you know what changed my relationship with God the most? Being in life group. Because it was the first time I'd ever experienced all the things, particularly the intimacy, but all the things that would be the opposite of what you said is reasons not to be there, the reasons to be there. And you know, Jay and Julie and Kathy and I and some other people, we didn't share life together. We lived life together. Wouldn't you agree, Jay and Julie? I mean, this was before we had children, but it changed my life. I remember being at Mike and Amy Lane's house on a Friday night. And they already had Courtney by then, their oldest child who just graduated high school, or will graduate high school on Friday, next Saturday, I mean. And on Friday night, Amy Lane pulls out those little song books that some of you probably grew up in church with, just those little paperback song books. And on a Friday night, spontaneously, we began to worship. And I thought, this is awesome. This is awesome. So counter to the world. Here we are, a group of 20-somethings on a Friday night. We're not out looking for a good time. We found the good time, and it was in the presence of God with one another. And that just flipped everything for me. Okay? It just flipped everything for me. Kathy and I would have paid a great price to be there part of on Sunday morning, but literally, I would give my life to have been there whenever we met for a life group. Literally. Because it was something I never had it felt before, to be in the presence of other believers, that it wasn't about answering questions. It was about sharing life, being intimate, using the Scripture, and just saying, hey, what's going on? What's going on? So this morning, that's kind of a backdrop, but I believe that it's so, the culture that we're living in today, guys, whether or not we want an opportunity, I believe, to allow us to share life together a lot of different ways because of what our world is coming to. And to be able to be intimate with one another and God, in the presence of God. So I agree with everything you said, but let's look at a few points and break it down. I agree. Wildlife groups are important. Number one, they're scriptural. So I need somebody. Let's see. You want to be drafted or you want to volunteer? Mike. Good job. How about Acts 2:46 for me? Don't read it just yet. Let's see. Jay, you got Acts 5:42? Russell, you take Acts 20:20? Jerry, Mr. Jerry, you take Romans 16:3-5? And let's see here. Who wants 1 Corinthians 16:19? John, you take 1 Corinthians 16:19? Now, if you ask me what scripture I just told you to read, you can forget about it. I don't know which ones I told you to read. I know Mike's got the first one. After that, it's kind of sketchy. 2:46. Jay, I gave you Acts 5:42, right? Okay. Russell, I gave you Acts 20:20. You heard it. You know that one by heart probably by now. Jay, 5:42. Same thing with this one. And then I'm going to read to you Colossians 4:15. It says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. You know, and I know, that this is in God's Word. And you know how important we feel that God has placed upon both large group and small group. Dusty has been hammering it in different ways over the last 4 or 5 months. And we've talked about it for years. But I think, too, that as part of that is we have responsibility to communicate it to others. And I think that that's one of the places that God is challenging each one of us. But my first question for us to talk about is discussed as this. Why are life groups important? First of all, would you agree with this statement? They fit well into the messy nature of life in today's world. Do you believe that? Do they fit well into the messy nature of today's world? First of all, the messy nature is all those things that we talked about, reasons people aren't a part of it, I believe. Okay, that's messy. And then part of the messiness is this. How many things competed for your time just in the last 7 days? Probably a lot, right? And some of them you knew about, and some of them you didn't know about. All right? So, my question for us to think about and talk about for just a moment is, I gave you the scriptural reasons. They talked about how they met in house to house, and they met a lot, to paraphrase it. How does all of that, what the Bible says, how can we fit all of that with what God's will and calling is in our lives, with our world today and the culture that we live in? How does all that get meshed together? How do you see that with life group and meeting in on a regular basis and sharing life together within the nature of the world that we live in that's just convoluted and messy and getting things all distorted and then all the things that try to steal our time? How do we see that meshing together? How do you see that meshing together? Get the priorities straight and then figure out how the rest of it kind of goes together. Well, I want us to continue to think about this because I think it's very, very important that we examine our hearts and our motives and our priorities today. Because for one big reason personally is that I believe that we all have a lot. We have a lot more control over our lives than we think we do. I believe a lot of days, a lot of weeks, we think somebody else somewhere is kind of pulling our strings. And I'm not so sure about that. And one of the ways I would look at that is this, is that, you know, I think about each evening, whether I'm at home doing nothing, I still have the choices in my hands. Do I pray for my fellow life group people? Do I pray for you? Do I spend any time with God? I'm talking about the time when there's nothing filling your time. What are you filling it with? Are you taking time to pray for our city? Are you thinking about the people that live on your street? Because there isn't a time to pray for the lost. There's just praying for the lost whenever God puts it on your heart. And I think that's important as we look at meshing these things together. Very, very important. So I ask you again, how does all the scriptural basis for life group fit into the culture that we live here in 2013 in good old Savannah, Georgia? How does it fit in there? Some other thoughts on life group, the importance of it. Think for a moment, when you really want to do something or go somewhere, Think about what you're willing to sacrifice for that. I mean, what was it, Kelly, a few weeks ago, I told you we were running a little late for one of Cameron's soccer games, and I said, if you're not ready, I'll see you at the game. You know, i.e., hey, when I'm leaving to go see my son do something, you know, you get in my way, look out. You know. And I think about the passion that comes with certain things in my life and the passion that Christ has for me. And I agree, you know, one of the things as I think about our life group that meets is that we've known each other for a long time. And as we gather around and I see little Adrian, Kayla Thompson's little boy, and as I see him in the midst of us, and I think about how we are the living Christ to him. We are that, the living Christ. But we only get to do it for about an hour and a half. And we better take every opportunity to impact for that hour and a half that we can. And sometimes, you know, that gets messy. Sometimes it gets messy. What other thoughts do you have on the culture, where we are, and a time and a place, and meshing life group with it? They probably are. What I hear the word saying is back to what Russell said earlier, intimacy. It's hard to have intimacy through the social medias, although I think we've believed a lie and said, yes, that's okay, that's good enough, but it's not. And I think that's kind of what you're saying there, is that it's not. We replaced something thinking it was acceptable, but it's not. Some things about life group being important. It's a place for evangelism. You know, it should be a place where you or I can invite somebody, whether it be at a more of a formal time together, or like we had a few weeks ago up at the Georgetown property, some of the life groups got together, came out there and hung out, had a good time. Just inviting people to that. It should be a place where there can be an entry point for people to get to know other people and hopefully just get to know them for who they really are without the pressure, but just being together, place of evangelism. Also, remembering that we were meant to belong. You know, talking about the youth, since I've been doing that for a long time, one of the things that amazes me, if you want to see the power of wanting to belong, you come to a youth group, because there will be kids that come there that are atheist, they're agnostic, they could really care less anything about knowing anything about Jesus, but they want to belong. And the desire to belong attracts them greater than worrying about what they're talking about. Okay? Because pretty much anytime I have a child, a youth or youths that are like that, you know, it amazes me their willingness to come and make the sacrifice to be there to just be in the group. Okay? And if you want to know how powerful that is, until recently, we had a kid that was driving all the way, well, he was staying after school, but he had to drive home to Ebenezer area above Rincon. This was a high school kid that when we would get done at night, he would drive home to Ebenezer area, basically think Rincon. I was like, man. I said, man, why don't you find a place closer up there to go? I said, that's a long ways. He said, man, I just like being around you guys. The power of belonging. That's a place. That's important. A place to belong. A place for evangelism. A place to share life together, but not just at a certain meeting time on a certain night, but in between times. Also, you know, we talk about this a lot, that growth in Christ is caught more than it's taught. We know we got to be around one another to catch it. And a place with life group is you can catch it. But being in between meetings, you can catch it also. How important that is. I mean, how many times have there been discussions just impromptu because you ran into somebody at the mall or Walmart and you just got to talking? And someone might say, you know, I'm so glad I ran to you because I wanted to ask you. Well, that's a divine appointment. So you shared life together there, didn't you? So we understand the importance of it. We understand the importance of it. A place to belong, a way to disciple, a place for evangelism. It's also against the culture. How so is life group counterculture? How is life, biblical life group, the way the examples we read today in Scripture, how is that so opposite of where our culture is today? What do you think? What I'm going to say I know can happen in a group of atheists, okay? I know that. But I want you to think about something on a deep level. When we're sharing life together, I mean really sharing life together, sharing the highs, the lows, and the in-between, I'm giving my heart to you. I'm opening myself to you. Back to the intimacy thing Russell was talking about, some of the others mentioned. You know, today, literally, Daniel could have a heart problem, literally. And his mom and dad are counting on us to be praying for him, okay? They've allowed themselves to open their hearts to us through their son, who they've entrusted with us for about 17 years now. But that is so counterculture to say, yes, I'm going to entrust you with my heart. I'm vulnerable. I'm not perfect. There's days that I'm not that great to be around. And that's so different than the culture, I believe. Now, there's a lot of things out there for the self-help. You know, there's plenty of books and plenty of seminars and plenty of conferences you can go to. But when I'm sharing my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a depth to it that the world can't meet. But until you experience that, you can't really explain it. And I think that's one of the things that Jesus tried to tell us through all those parables, like the rich young ruler. Oh, have you checked off everything you've done correct? Yeah, Jesus, I've done it all. Jesus said, yes, but this one thing, you got to give me your heart by giving me all your possessions. And I think that we see that so counterculture. Our hearts being vulnerable, laying it out there. And it's not always neat. It doesn't always happen in an hour and a half or 2 hours on a certain night. But it is powerful, isn't it? I mean, it is powerful. Probably most of you here have experienced the power of God when you just lay it out there and people have laid hands on you, put a chair out in the middle of a room and prayed for you and let God speak to you. It's powerful. And I believe that right there, you can't describe. You have to experience it. You can tell somebody, but until they say, I want that, it is a powerful thing. Other thoughts on why life groups are important. Accountability. Melanie, can you expound on that a little bit for me? Yeah, come on, tell me some more. I know you got more than that one word. Come on. You know, when you're really sharing life together, it really doesn't take words to be expressed when you know somebody's got something wrong. You can just tell, can't you? Body language. Shoot, you might be able to tell the way they are coming up the driveway before they get in your house. You know, I tell you right now, if you can't do that, won't you be at my house on Wednesday night about 6:45, and we'll look out the window together. And as the teenagers arrive, I'll show you what it looks like. Okay? Because they can't really hide much of anything, whether it's good or bad. Okay? But that's true. Accountability. You know, we looked at a lot of New Testament examples of life group. But I believe there's something that we kind of forget about. Is there was a life group in heaven before there was ever a life group on earth. We call it the Holy Trinity. Okay? But you know something else that I think we sometimes, our mind doesn't remember is this. There were life groups all throughout the Old Testament. What do you think David did with his boys when he was running from Saul? What do you think Jonathan and him did when they hung out together? What do you think when God told the Israelites, all the, you know, all that stuff you don't want to read in the New, the Old Testament, you set your tent like this and you order them like this and the Levites hang out with this group and they're not, okay, what do you think they were doing? Okay? They were sharing life together. That's what they were doing. It's exactly what they were doing. So when you read the Old Testament, New Testament, life group sharing life together didn't happen when Jesus was born. It happened when God was in heaven with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Himself, and it was just a continuation down on the earth. So remember that. You know, remember that. They didn't arrive last century. Some of the books I've read about life groups and cell groups, the guys who wrote that almost kind of came across with, hey, look at this idea I came up with. You know, we from time to time talk about the fact that there could come a day when we can't meet in a building. And that's true. That's a real possibility. There could come the day that just gathering in a home, you're putting your life at risk. It could be. It could be. Or God has a good sense of humor. He might pluck one of you up today and have you in the middle of China tomorrow. And, you know, putting it on the line. Putting it on the line. I mean, was it just, I read week before last, which in Saudi Arabia, the gentleman that had 300 lashes with a whip because he, young lady converted to Christianity. 300 lashes with a whip because he converted a young lady to Christianity. So, I'm just saying that those things that we talk about, they're not in a sci-fi movie necessarily. You know, they're not just made up, but there's a gift to be enjoyed today. And I think that's something I want you to take away from today, is all these are truths, and I believe you know them, but it's a gift to be enjoyed today. Today. Told you I'm having a camp meeting after the service today. For those who've been to camp a lot of time, you know what I'm talking about. For those who've never been, you know, we leave about Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. You know, it's funny, at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, I never have kids that are saying, I can't wait to leave camp. You ever had anybody, Jay, say that to you? Julie, anybody ever say that? Rick? Sophia? You had anybody? Who else is in here that's been to camp a few times with us? Artie? You ever have anybody saying, boy, I wish I could get away from Artie cooking all that crazy food? Yes, and I usually say, I don't think I could live. But I'm tired. Jay's never tired. He comes. Jay's the only person that comes back from camp more rested than when he leaves. Point being is sharing life together can be simply fun. It can be fun, too. So think about these things. There are things that most of you have heard probably 50 times at least. And asking yourself, is it worth it? I hope you would hear a resounding yes from those that have shared life together. Let's pray. Father, we bless you today. Lord, thank you for the gift of life. Lord, thank you for communing with us. Jesus, thank you for allowing us to have a personal relationship through you with our Heavenly Father. What a precious gift to be enjoyed, but to be shared. And God, I'm asking you to help us to share it. God, help us to allow you to work in our lives to where we can trust you with life.